Welcome to the greatest radio show in the history of the universe.
Dan Bickley.
The greatest of all time.
Vince Murata.
This is the greatest radio show of all time.
Bickley and Murata.
You're listening to the greatest radio show that has ever existed.
This is the greatest radio show.
The greatest thing ever.
It is.
Bickley and Murata.
The greatest ever.
You can't get excited about this. You might not be able to be excited.
Greatest of all time.
It's crazy.
Legendary.
So is this show.
Absolutely.
This is the greatest radio show of all time.
That's right. Doesn't get any better than this, Viva.
Bickley and Murata.
It's going to be lit.
It's the greatest thing in the world. I love it. I love where this show is going.
Good.
I'm excited to be a part of it.
Good.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Dan Bickley, Vince Murata. Do you feel the eyes of the world on Arizona? Did you notice how Chase Field is trending on Twitter?
I have. I do.
Good morning, Vinny.
Yes, to those questions.
Yeah.
Hi, Vic. How are you?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
I'm good.
That's good.
I'm good. Was that convincing or no?
Yeah, well, kind of. A little bit. I'm still
no more or less than usual.
I'm still kind of wiping down the console here. I'll be with you momentarily. And now we're done.
No one sits there except you, Dan.
Is that true?
Yeah, well, Wolf sits there.
Then consider myself protecting myself from myself. How about that?
Allow myself to introduce myself.
But that's not exactly true. There are people sitting in here on the weekends, Jared.
Not since yesterday, though, but yes, you're right.
Okay, right. So that's not entirely true, right? So what's going on, everybody? Anything new in your lives?
Yeah, well, I just discovered something.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I don't know how many days this is of quarantine or since sports shut down, but apparently we've reached the stage where people are going through other people's Twitter accounts to look for old tweets. And I've been victimized by this.
What happened?
Apparently, on November 19th, 2017,
mm-hmm.
during a Cardinals game against the Houston Texans, I tweeted, "You can't spell Hopkins without OPI. Geez, push off much, DeAndre."
Uh-huh.
And that's been brought to my attention.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Oh, no.
Somebody said, "I'm glad we'll never have this stuff on our team." I'm like, all the better now. If he gets away with it and he's wearing Cardinal uniform.
Why did somebody go search your Twitter for what you said about DeAndre Hopkins?
I don't know.
There's some schmuck on the radio.
Yeah, and I'm that guy, apparently.
The people going back to try to find hot takes on people. They have a lot of time on their hands.
We could be in quarantine from now until the year 3000. I will never reach that level of boredom, ever. Sorry.
Wow. It's not even boredom, it's pettiness, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of both of that. I don't know what to say to that. That's just...
Well, luckily, me and Dan have never had any wrong takes, so...
Well, that's true. That is true.
We don't have to worry about it.
You guys are safe.
I think maybe he's pointing out that phenomenon of how easy it is for some people to rip out of town athletes and then overinflate the local athletes.
Yeah, and guess what? You, in saying that, Bick, just encapsulated what it's all about to be a fan.
Yeah.
You root for the guys on your team.
Right. Yeah, no, that is true. Yes, that is true. But I think that if people want to... pick nits,
uh-huh.
that they might. Yeah, I don't get worked up by that stuff.
Man. Oh, I'm not worked. I thought it was kind of funny, actually.
Okay.
So I don't consider my Twitter account a very controversial place. So, 2 years ago, that's what I thought in watching DeAndre Hopkins play football in real time. Now he's wearing a Cardinal uniform. I hope he gets away with a heck of a lot more PI calls.
Uh-huh.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay, I got you.
I ain't mad.
Okay, I gotcha. All right, well, you know what? Let's start the show, Jarrett.
The Splash.
Splash.
The stories making waves in the sports world.
The Splash.
Get him up.
Yeah, the Splash, we start it today for Tuesday, April 7th, 2020. The big story came out last night. Jeff Passan of ESPN, among the baseball reporters, putting it out there that Major League Baseball and its players increasingly focused on a plan that could allow them to start the season as early as May and has the support of high-ranking federal public health officials who believe that the league can safely operate during this pandemic. The plan dictates that all 30 teams would play at stadiums in the greater Phoenix area with no fans, including Chase Field, all the spring training facilities, and perhaps other nearby fields. Okay, so that was last night's development.
Yep.
And there's still a lot of it out there. Today, Major League Baseball did issue a statement that said MLB has been actively considering numerous contingency plans that would allow to commence play to commence once the public health situation has improved to the point that it is safe to do so. While we have discussed the idea of staging games at one location as one potential option, we have not settled on that option or developed a detailed plan.
Yeah, sounds to me like it's going in the right direction, to the very fact that Major League Baseball had to release that statement to kind of address this chorus of dissenters that are out there, and surprisingly, dissenters locally among people who cover sports for a living. I think this is phenomenal. It's a development that I really hope that Major League Baseball was looking at seriously, and I think they are. And I think they can attempt to do this safely. Can I guarantee it? No. But I think they can attempt to do it. And I think a lot of the knee-jerk reactions to this are, they're just, I get being afraid of some things, but I've heard people go, well, what about these poor players? They're going to be sequestered for X amount of months away from their family. Okay, really? That's a concern? Well, it's so hot in Arizona. That's a concern? There's not fans going to these games. You can play them at 7 o'clock in the morning if you want.
Well, I think the heat thing is not necessarily a valid. I mean, players play in the heat now. I mean, up until this season, Texas had outdoor games in the heat of the summer. It was miserable there. You can play
in
the heat.
That's right, they do.
You can play in the heat, certainly.
The Marlins played outside until
recently.
You
can play in the heat. You can't be playing it in the dead middle of the afternoon in the month of June and July in Arizona, but you can work around that.
But I think there is some validity to the 4 months away from family thing for a lot of people. I'm not going to say it's universal.
What do you think baseball players do? They don't spend much time at home during the season anyways.
I mean, they're never gone for more than 10 days at a time.
But even when they're home, they're working every day, and they're out of the house every day in the morning, and they're working well into the night. They don't talk to most Major League Baseball players. It's not like they have normal family lives during the season, even when they're at home. But again,
yeah, but, I mean, that's still a million miles away from the norm.
So that consideration would make you not want this to happen?
It's not going to affect me either way.
Okay.
I'm just talking about what's going to pop up in the myriad of problems with this proposal.
I don't know how many professional athletes I have met in my life who would put up their hand and say, no, you're taking away the sliver of family time that I have when my team is at home for the ability to make money playing baseball. There might be three guys who do that. I don't think that's a concern at all.
I don't even think it'll get far enough down the road for that to become an issue, quite honestly. And we'll get more into that in a little bit, but I think you're way underselling that.
Okay.
Elsewhere. In the world of sports, Adam Silver doing another interview where he's talking about the uncertainty of the NBA season getting resumed at any point. He said, basically, I've got less information than I had the first time I talked on this. And that's just due to the ever-changing nature of the news cycle on this coronavirus outbreak. He said, quote, essentially, what I've told my folks over the last week is that we should just accept that at least for the month of April, we will not be in a position to make any decisions. And I don't think that necessarily means on May 1st we will be. Adam Silver, well, baseball is obviously centered on Phoenix for a return plan. The reports are that Vegas is on the NBA's radar, that North Dakota is on the NHL's radar plan. I mean, these leagues are kicking the tires on all potential return plans. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
What I said yesterday, and I'll stick by this, I don't necessarily know if there's much benefit into making everything that you're planning or, throwing at the wall public at this point.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think the NHL has really got the right momentum or really any viable plan in place. I think that the NBA is wrestling with a lot of issues, and according to Brian Windhorst, he's sensing a lot of pessimism about anything getting done. So the picture's starting to become a little more clear, in my opinion. We don't know what it's going to look like at the end of the month, but I think a lot of this is positive development. The fact that a lot of people, from Dana White to Rob Manfred to whoever else, is thinking about doing these kind of things, I'm glad there's some innovation taking place.
NFL draft, there was a memo sent out to all the teams yesterday from the commissioner, Roger Goodell, that said the draft will proceed in a fully virtual format. The memo was obtained by NFL Network's Tom Pelissero. He reported the league informed a group of general managers that it was proceeding with plans for a virtual draft during a conference call on Friday. So I don't think that's a huge surprise there. But just to hear the word fully put in front of virtual. That opens up another area of concern, which we'll dive into later on in the show today. But there is your splash for Tuesday, April 7th, 2020. Coming up, we will get into those Arizona return plans for Major League Baseball, some of the reaction to it next. It's Bickley and Marotta on this Tuesday, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Bickley and Marotta.
Let's just lay out the plan first, right? Major League Baseball would be isolating in Arizona. They would be playing games every day at spring training facilities at Chase Field. You might have two or three games a day there. All of the logistics of creating this biodome have to happen in order for it to happen. So there are so many hurdles that they have to leap through, whether it is ensuring the safety and health of the players, ensuring the viability of this dome so that they don't go outside of it and potentially infect other people, playing the games, getting ready for the games. Do you keep the bus drivers at the hotels? You know, all these questions that need to be answered.
That is Jeff Passan from ESPN on ESPN last night talking about all of, they're calling it the biodome, the biosphere, if you will. Returning Major League Baseball to a centralized location, which would be, and we talked about this at great length last week, Bick, Arizona being the center of the baseball mm-hmm. world, where all the teams would relocate to Arizona.
Isn't it funny how everyone calls it the biodome, even though it's the biosphere? Because of that Pauly Shore movie?
That's true. You're actually right about that.
Well, and dome has a baseball connotation to it.
I guess.
Maybe there's something subconscious about it.
Okay.
But we talked about it at a great length, yeah. And it's not a reality. Certainly, it's being talked about. I don't think we have all the details of just how far they've gone down that road. I did find it interesting that Major League Baseball felt it necessary to put out a statement today, and that served as, to me at least, to kind of a, hey, pump the brakes on this. We're talking about it, but we're not quite there yet.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say, and I think there have been a lot of criticism from a lot of people outside Arizona that the optics of this are very tricky. There's and that applies to anything anybody tries to do right now that is not fully quarantining yourself in your house. I think that in the case of this, Major League Baseball has got a couple of different options. They've got an idea on the books that if you want to do nothing crazy, maybe shoot for spring training to restart in the middle of June, okay? Season begins without fans, the fans return in August, and then you get to the end of the season. That's the plan that they've got. That's the closest to norm, business as usual kind of plan. Then you've got this, the get started in May. Can you pull it off? Now, I understand the people who think there's some mixed messaging going on here. The question becomes, can you do this without spreading and turning Arizona into a COVID hot center or a hot spot? Mm-hmm. We are right now, as a locale, the best that I can tell, we are in much better shape. than a lot of places, than a lot of hot spots across the country. And I'm speaking anecdotally from somebody who drives home after this radio show and cannot believe how crowded midday roads happen to be, from somebody who just sees how many people are hiking and doing activities on the weekend. There's not a lot of panic here to begin with. So there's this belief that as the temperatures go up, maybe that's going to be a natural combatant to the COVID virus. The biggest question becomes, can you do this and effectively sequester players? And that all comes down to the commitment of the people involved. I don't know what the numbers are. You're going to have expanded rosters. There's going to be 40 players. You allow for 10 coaches. You allow for 10 medical staff. You allow for one bus driver. Or maybe you go old school and you let the manager drive the bus himself. Kind of like Tom. You know what I mean? You go really old school. You embrace this stuff. But if
no
you
insurance
can get,
issues there.
Well, listen, you can look at this and see hurdles, or you can look at this and see opportunities.
Look, I'm not choosing to see hurdles. I just think they're so freaking obvious that you can't avoid them.
Well, so you don't think you can get over them?
No, I don't think so.
Why?
A number of reasons.
Okay.
You know, the whole sequestering of thousands of people. That's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Just the logistics of it. And I mentioned this earlier, and this was a stumbling block that came up, and I want to play this snippet from SportsCenter. This is Scott Van Pelt with Jeff Passan last night.
I can't possibly see any player saying, yeah, sure, I'll go sequester myself in a biodome for 4.5 months to play baseball and I'll see my family. There's no way in hell I can see that. But just going back to your initial point and the possibility that maybe more likely...
I want to offer you an anecdote, actually.
Please.
Because, you know, I started hearing about this recently, and I wanted to run it by a couple of players. And I ran it by a player last night. And when I ran it by this player, he said exactly, I mean, almost word for word, Scott, what you said right there. And then this morning, he sent me a text, and he said, talked it over with my wife. She said if it means getting paid, I can do the 4.5 months.
And I think that's interesting to note as well. You know, a couple weeks ago, we talked about the NBA plan to sequester in Las Vegas, and Kendrick Perkins went on ESPN and said, I'd never consider being away from my family that long, especially with a pandemic going on. And we don't have the figures. Mm-hmm. I think it's an individual choice for everybody. I think that's a huge stumbling block.
Okay. And once again, I don't mean to sound ruthless about this, but if you're a Major League Baseball player and you don't want to do it, don't do it. And trust that your talent will be good enough to win back your roster spot when things get back to normal.
I mean, the expanded rosters, I think, is an interesting idea. But if they expand them to 40, what do you say you have a rash of injuries, which is not out of the realm of possibility, especially with a truncated slash really greatly altered training regimen to get ready for the season? What if you have to dip past your 40? Minor leagues don't exist. There's not a whole AAA and AA roster ready to be called upon in terms of spot duty or to take care of injury.
Mm-hmm.
You just play shorthanded? I mean...
Well, I don't know what the solution to that is, but that problem isn't something that I think would derail the goodness of this idea. And you're right. The idea of sequestering thousands of people, it sounds daunting. But if you compartmentalize it to sequestering each individual organization at a particular hotel, I threw out the idea when I wrote about this last week about actually involving restaurants. The more I thought about that, you've got to close that loop to the point where you're going to have dedicated chefs and the like also installed in these hotels. You're going to have to seal the loop, but I think with enough planning, you can do it. Now, can you secure it? You're going to, like I said, that's going to be another matter to hire security and keep them away from the team while they secure the building and don't allow fans who might be goofy enough to try to sneak in to watch.
Yeah, that's another aspect to it as well. We'll have a lot on this during today's show. So obviously big potential news from Major League Baseball. Coming up next, another NFL mock draft is out from one of the leading analysts in football. We'll tell you what he projects for the Arizona Cardinals and more NFL news next. It's Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. It's Bickley and Murata on this Tuesday. Bick coming to you live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios. I'm broadcasting from home as we roll on here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Today, April 7th, 16 days away, a little bit more than 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. We talked about it in the splash, how the teams were officially notified by the commissioner yesterday that the draft will go on in a fully virtual format. Lots of planning happening and so obviously some concerns there as well. I guess we can get into those concerns right here. I mean,
well, yeah, one of the things that I think is a good thing, Cliff Kingsbury spoke via Zoom today, and he made a comment that he thinks Steve Keim's going to enjoy not having a lot of noise in the background. And I kind of thought to myself, huh, what we were talking about yesterday might be kind of closer to the truth than I even thought. Then maybe this kind of pared-down NFL draft is going to help some general managers.
It could.
We'll see.
I think the ones that have done their homework certainly will benefit from it. But another byproduct of this, fully virtual, relying on technology. What do you say, John Harbaugh, coach of the Baltimore Ravens?
Big concern. My level of involvement has been every time I read something like the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times that talks about how messed up Zoom is or some of these other deals like we came out this morning, I immediately text it to our IT people. And Nick Matteo is one of those guys, and they assure me that we are doing everything humanly possible.
Yeah, I mean, the cybersecurity. Mm-hmm. I didn't think we'd ever be talking about this as to consider during an NFL draft season, but here we are.
I want somewhere down the line, I want this society and this nation of sports fans to pivot off this Houston Astros sign-stealing controversy and demand some competitive integrity in sports. I'm so sick of stories like this. If you're an NFL team, you should be blessed to be part of such a great competitive environment. The idea now that you're worried about having Zoom meetings virtually because other people can hack in and steal stuff. I'm just getting real fed up with this. I'm real fed up that our sports and our athletes and the people that run our sporting teams are just that low character. I'm sick of this kind of stuff.
I don't think you just have to pinpoint that to sports. I mean, it's a cross-section of society.
I know.
A large portion of our society, Bick, as a whole, is awful.
Yeah, I know.
So even
that.
If it's not people that are coordinating this from other other franchises, you don't think some bored hacker now is like,
probably.
What kind of havoc can I cause on
probably.
Draft night?
Listen, yeah. Because the way I'm looking at this right now, I think we're watching the world change. All these athletes doing Zoom interviews, do you think reporters are ever going to be hanging out at team facilities anymore in the future?
Not anytime in the near future.
I agree
with that. This
might go completely by the wayside. Athlete and coach availability, this might be the new normal, even after this. Because why wouldn't a sports organization, if you've got this technology, go, let's just limit the amount of people we bring in here. And I wouldn't be a fan of that, obviously, right? I enjoy our Monday broadcasts from the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals training facility.
Look at you.
Look at that. but I do think that a lot of what we're seeing now with the way people are communicating virtually, it's going to change sports for good.
I think there's even other concerns, too, about, all right, so if you're fully virtual, and well, let's use Steve Keim as an example. Steve Keim's about to make the pick at number 8 for the Cardinals in the first round, and he can't communicate effectively because the internet in his house goes out.
Mm.
I mean, it's not. I mean, we've all dealt with it. It's not foolproof.
Uh huh.
I'm surprised. I've only been knocked off the air once since broadcasting at home.
Uh-huh.
Thankfully, that happened during
Steve
a commercial
Keim
break.
Steve Keim wouldn't want to do the draft from my house. We know that.
What if Steve Keim's kid starts playing Fortnite in the middle
right,
of the...
Right. We don't want Steve Keim at my house. That would not be good. Steve, who are you picking? What?
That actually is funny, though, because, like, if you know where these people live, and, like, all of a sudden, you know, you're a Cowboys fan.
Okay, stop.
Don't encourage people to do this nefarious stuff. This is what I'm talking about.
And you go over to like the Redskins GM and you shut the power off to their house on the outside. They cut the circuit breaker.
Right, right.
I mean, that would be kind of just piling on at that point. Like, anybody has faith that under normal circumstances that Washington's going to make the right pick ever?
Yeah.
That was a bad example.
Yeah. Right. But I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
In terms of mock drafts, Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network, he released his mock draft 3.0 this morning on NFL.com. And it looks more feasible than some of the outlandish mocks that we've talked about in recent days, Bic. Joe Burrow going number one to Cincinnati. Chase Young number two to Washington. Akuda to the Lions at three. And don't think there's not just a marketing play there. I mean, Lion King, Akuda Matata. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's all over it.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't even think about that, but that's true.
Tristan Wirfs, the offensive tackle, going to the Giants at four. Justin Herbert at number five is the most is the thing that pops off the page, going to Miami at five. Tua Tagovailoa to the Chargers at six. That's without any trading. Derek Brown, seven. And Jedrick Wills, offensive tackle from Alabama, going to the Cardinals at number eight.
Mm.
I watched Tua Tagovailoa's hype video.
Yeah?
And my first...
Were you hyped?
Yeah, I actually kind of was. My first thought was, man, if I were the Cincinnati Bengals, this might give me reason for pause.
Just the
athleticism of that kid and just the fierceness of that kid. And I love Joe Burrow, too. I watched almost every game he played in college, and I'm not going to sit here and say that he doesn't deserve to be the number one pick. I look at that kid, and I'm like, oh, man. That decision might be harder than it looks.
Yes and no. Mm-hmm. From a skill standpoint, I totally agree with you. And even if you look at the stats over the last 2 years at Alabama, Tua Tagovailoa, just ridiculous stats. 76 touchdown passes, 9 interceptions. How does that jive with Joe Burrow over the last 2 years? 76 touchdown passes, 11 interceptions. Of course, 60 of those 76 came in one season. The big thing that I think is, you know, advantage Burrow is that injury. And I know he's been checked out, and mm-hmm. I know... you know, it's been almost a daily update on, wow, he got checked out by the doctors. They give him a clean bill of health. He's ready to go. He's fully available to play. You know, there's been the highlight videos. Here's what Tua's doing just to show everybody that he's out there. But, you know, you don't have that same concern with Joe Burrow. You don't have those three injuries and one very significant injury to worry about. I think it's close, and I think had Tua stayed healthy, he'd be the number one pick, even with Joe Burrow having the most magical season we've ever seen a quarterback have.
Yeah.
But
did you see the title of his hype video, by the way? It was Tua T.
Oh, that's...
See how he did that? You get that?
That's clever. That's clever. We have to remember, too, that Joe Burrow, his magical season... might have not been so magical had Tua been healthy for the LSU game. I mean, Alabama might have taken down LSU had Tua played in that game.
You would think so with the talent.
Yeah, it was a shootout anyway.
See, the question is, though, if Tua would have been the number one pick if he had been healthy, if everyone's saying he is healthy now, then why isn't he the number one pick?
Because
there's
those visceral images of that injury. I'm just, if you could pick, if there's two guys that are almost equal in terms of talent and pro potential, and one of them's got an injury history and one of them doesn't, I think most teams are going to side if they're that close.
Well, the problem is that
the clean bill of health.
They're such different kinds of quarterback. In a way that it's hard to just say that they're equal.
Now, like I said,
how are they that different? I'd like to hear.
Oh, I guess maybe you're right. Maybe they're less different than
You know how many rushing yards Tua Tagovailoa had last year?
I do not. No.
17.
Wow.
17.
Now I don't know what I'm a little confused here. He played against LSU in that game.
No, he was out before that game.
Are you sure about that? I don't think so. No, that game was a shootout with Tua Tagovailoa throwing deep TD passes late in that game.
Oh, yep, you're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, he played in that game. There's no asterisk to LSU season at all.
That's right. He came back. He was compromised in that game. He'd been coming off the ankle injury, and played in that game.
That's what it was. Yeah, he did not. Yeah, there were people who said he didn't look good pregame warmups. I remember listening to the pregame show, mm-hmm. and there were guys talking about
that. And then he still threw
that.
For 418
yards. That's what it was. Dealing with an ankle injury going into that game.
What it was. My bad. Thanks for correcting me.
No, it's all right.
I appreciate that.
No, it's all right. It's all right. I'm not trying to nitpick. I'm just going back in my head. That's not a nitpick.
That's a major point I made, and I was wrong.
Well, I remember it was one of the greatest college football games I've ever seen in my life because Joe Burrow could not stop scoring touchdowns for LSU, and he needed to keep scoring them because of Tua and really bad defensive strategy. LSU kept letting Tua throw over the top of that defense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was one of the most amazing games of all of last season. So I think that's the kind of thing when you look at Tua and Cincinnati now. I think Cincinnati's pretty ensconced, and I think they're going to be real happy with Joe Burrow. He's an Ohio kid. He checks every box. But at the same time, this idea, if Tua would have been number one, then why isn't he?
Yeah. I think if we're at this point and we're more than 2 weeks away from the draft, it's going to get even hairier in terms of all these people saying, oh, Cincinnati could go Tua. Cincinnati mm-hmm. could go Herbert. I think you're going to see more of that leading up to the draft. And until Cincinnati comes out and makes a definitive, Burrow's our guy. But why would they do that? Teams are not doing that anymore. I mean, the Cardinals didn't come out ahead of time last year and say Kyler Murray's our guy. They didn't do that until draft night.
That's exactly right.
All right, coming up next, PGA Tour calendar revamped due to coronavirus. Bick's got some thoughts on the effects of that next. It's Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Dan Bickley, Vince Marotta.
Dan Bickley and Vince Marotta,
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Well, the golf world appeased a lot of people by shuffling their calendar of events, moving the Masters. I think a lot of golf fans would say that's the best event on the calendar from year to year. It won't be wiped away by coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
At least right now, it's been shifted to November. But that was one of several moves that the PGA Tour announced yesterday. And I read your column on the coronavirus effects of sports, and I know you got some thoughts on all of this in terms of how it affects the sport.
I really do. Yes, I do. Thank you. A couple of things about this. I think that the world of golf, if you compare it to tennis, two of my favorite sports outside the Big Four, there's a unique and very disparate thing happening to the great players in each sport. When you've got the PGA Tour, they're contrary to what a lot of people believe, there's stuff on their fall calendar, but it's stuff, Vinny, that I don't think really matters. The FedEx Cup fall schedule to me in golf, I don't really think it appeals to many people. So reslotting major tournaments and the Ryder Cup are very, very important. So the idea now that they've unleashed a schedule that's going to ostensibly allow them to play the PGA Championship in August, they're going to play the U.S. Open in September, uh-huh. they're going to play the Ryder Cup after that, and then they're going to play the Masters in November. I've got a couple thoughts on that. Number one, Tiger Woods is 44 years of age. He's probably got another 5 years to dabble in major victories. He's three wins away from Jack Nicklaus. So if you're talking about Tiger Woods and his clock ticking, because that's the thing with great athletes in these sports, just because their seasons have been delayed or paused, their body clocks keep going. They keep getting older,
uh-huh.
and their windows of opportunity keep getting lower and lower. So Tiger Woods now, he's the defending champion at Augusta National, and anybody who loves golf, last year's triumph will be one of those memories you'll remember forever. I mean, if you remember how weird it was, they played the final round at the crack of dawn in Arizona mm-hmm. because of incoming weather, and people like myself and others who are golf fans got up and were staging parties to watch Tiger Woods. It was really an emotional moment for the sport of golf. And so this is a championship that needs to be defended, in my opinion. And the idea of putting three majors at the end of 2020, that might help a guy like Tiger Woods if he is still entertaining hopes of catching Jack Nicklaus because of his age, because of the fact that the Masters still is his best shot. And so there you go. So I think if a well-rested Tiger Woods could come out and maybe win one, maybe possibly two of a condensed PGA major championship schedule, that's going to work out pretty well for him. I like what is ahead of
golf fans from the PGA Tour an awful lot.
Yeah, and I know Jack Nicklaus had a quote. He was interviewed by Scott Van Pelt of ESPN yesterday, and he said, quote, "I know you're going to have to fight a little bit of football, but there's a lot of fans who want to come to Augusta even in November. It's a pretty time of year. They won't have the flowers, but the golf course, if they get the ryegrass in shape, will be good, and it'll be a good test of golf." The way I look at it, and I don't look at it just specific to golf, Bick. I look at it as what the sports world is being deprived of right now. And right now, I mean, last night would have been the end of the NCAA tournament, would have been the championship game. When you have the NCAA tournament and the beginning of Major League Baseball and NFL draft and NHL and NBA all brewing at the same time, in addition to, you know, a normal Masters calendar, we're being deprived of one of the great stretches of sports in America, or around the world, basically.
Without a doubt.
So if we can take this and cut and paste it and put it to the fall where you got football going on, ideally college football, pro football, the Masters, who knows what, you know, Major League Baseball and the NBA and the NHL are going to look like at that point. But if we can replace one spot of the calendar that has been barren because of coronavirus and give it at another time, it's gonna be a healing event for a lot of people.
I agree. The U.S. and now look at this, and I don't know what the U.S. Open tennis tournament is going to do given the fact that it's in New York. So I wouldn't keep my fingers crossed of playing the U.S. Open in September in New York. But if they do, the U.S. Open tennis tournament will end on Sunday, September 13th. That will be an NFL Sunday. 4 days later, the U.S. Open golf tournament will begin. How weird will that be?
Well, let me ask you this also. But if they go by this schedule, the Masters will be a back-to-back majors, right?
Yeah.
The last major this year, then the first major next year.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Well, I mean, I don't think they've ruled on that, but you know, we talk about it and how this stoppage or the suspension is going to affect future seasons of the NBA, for instance. Mm-hmm. This could have ripple effects in calendar planning for a lot of sports for quite some time. I don't know. Do they adjust it?
I don't
probably
know.
I think
probably
ideally
not.
The Masters is meant to be held in April.
But it's
something to consider.
It'll be interesting because I don't know what I have never seen Augusta National in November. I know that if they need to spray paint the flowers, they'll do that. If they need to import some bird chirping noises, they'll do that.
Yeah.
They'll do whatever necessary to create the Masters.
I don't know if you saw this, but the byproduct of this, I ran across this today. Some Augusta hotels were once $49 a night, are now running for $1,000 a night
in
for
that
November
time,
Masters Week.
Jeez. That's one of those things where you would have liked to have gotten a heads up before anybody had that information.
And then
booked about 15 hotel rooms.
Yeah, but some things never go out of style, Bick. Gouging the public is never out of style for a lot of people.
Yeah, and that's really pathetic as well. You would hope that wouldn't happen in this day and age, but that's too much to hope for.
Yeah, the Roadway Inn on Jimmy Dias Parkway, normally $49 a night, listed rooms at $1,000. Residence Inn by Marriott on Mark's Church Road, normally $219 a night, posting rooms for $1,499 during tournament.
Wow. Yeah, listen, there's
I
not
guess that
yeah.
should be expected.
Well, but that's not even the major housing market that's in Augusta. It's mostly people who get up and get out of their houses and they leave and they go someplace else for a few weeks and they cover their mortgage for the rest of the year by fleecing golf fans. I know. I slept in a little girl's bedroom. I told you that story.
Please isolate that audio
for
the end of the week montage.
Please give context. More context.
All right.
Please.
You want the context? John Bloom, I think, was with us that time. It was Bill Huffman, John Davis.
I think that's John Blem.
Yeah, that's good. John Blem. Shut up, Jared.
That's funny.
John Bloom was there, and I was the last one in, so I got funneled to the last available room, and the last available room was a young girl's bedroom, and there were like posters all around. It was creepy beyond belief.
Do you remember any of the posters?
I don't. I'm guessing there might have been a Jonas brother involved.
Taylor Swift, maybe.
I don't know. It actually was a while ago, so I don't know.
It might have been pre-Taylor Swift.
Yeah, probably was. Yeah. Listen, Augusta's a very, very weird town. It's a very, very weird place. It's very strange.
Coming up as we kick off hour number two, Major League Baseball. Kicking the tires on a lot of different return plans that center around Arizona, although they did send out a pump the brakes memo today. We'll get into all the possibilities next. It's Bickley and Murata on this Tuesday, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
I slept in a little girl's bedroom. I told you that story.